We'll do it live!
You are listening to the AMC Report with your host, Ryan Dawson.
This is Ryan Dawson on the ANC Report, Anti-Neocons Report, and my guest today is Brad Hoff, former Marine who's lived in Syria, a journalist. You can find his work on the Levant Report, also antiwar.com and the Foreign Policy Journal. He did a very interesting scoop on the now notorious DIA report, which admitted that they knew ISIS was going to be fostered and created, and it was exactly in the opposition power's interest to foster this relationship and get this going. People have been saying that for years, but now it's in writing, and Mr. Brad Hoff did the report on that. So he's my guest today. Brad, welcome to the program. It's been hard to get you on with the time zones between Texas and Japan.
Right. Well, thanks for having me on. I'm on because you have the best title of any radio show I've known, so appreciate it.
I love it, and I grabbed that early.
Well, good. Yeah.
Anti-neocons, it was we were doing it before it was cool, before people knew what a neocon was, but I'm happy that that's entered the lexicon. Everybody knows what lying scumbags are now. But before we get into the DIA report, I wanted to ask you something. As a Marine and someone who lived in Syria, if you could take a minute to contrast the propaganda assumed you heard in the Marines with the reality of living in Syria as a Christian Marine and an American.
Well, right. For one, anyone I had talked to before actually going to Lebanon and then on to Syria thought I was crazy for wanting to go visit Damascus. Because, of course, as you say, Damascus has, people have a certain stereotype, especially once you get that deep into the Middle East. I think what they tend to envision is a culture and a public life that looks something more like Saudi Arabia. But when I first entered Syria, I was surprised to see how secular the public life was. Especially in the city centers, I actually saw very few women wearing the burqa and even the hijab. A lot of pluralism, churches everywhere, mosques everywhere, the Druze star and Druze shrines everywhere. In many ways, it looked like, downtown Los Angeles with its kind of melting pot pluralistic aspect. And so certainly Syria had a somewhat authoritarian government, but at the same time, very open and tolerant in terms of social life. What I also came to discover was that the authoritarianism that existed in Syria was really, it was not something that was brought about just because, a group of Syrians wanted to form some dictatorship. It was a response to what's ultimately been a foreign attack on the country. Going back to the 1970s and even before that, attempts at Western intervention that goes back into the 1950s. Mm-hmm. And so what I came to see was that there was this sort of strong security state, by necessity in a way, because we see what's happening now. But on the other hand, there was a lot of secularism, alcohol stores everywhere. I once drank a beer on the streets of Damascus.
You can't even do that in American cities.
No, exactly. And it was like night and day, compared to what, how people tended to view Syria versus what I experienced firsthand.
Let me bring some people up on the details and what you said there. So in the 50s, in 1956, Syria was attacked. I call that the Levant Affair War, the Suez Crisis. They were attacked again and through the 70s, and then there was a civil war with the Muslim Brotherhood in the 80s, which Assad's father fought. He also fought in Yom Kippur, which retook part of the Golan Heights, which was annexed territory by the Israelis. And so this is the pressure cooker that led to the government they had coming off a civil war. Bashar al-Assad was the president for 10 years without any violence until all of a sudden people are sniped at funerals, and then we have a whole bunch of myths about sarin gas and blah, blah, blah. But what people don't realize is that even with the neighbors, in Iraq, in a war twice, there was peace in Syria up until 2011.
Yeah, exactly right, and I appreciate that. And I was when the whole terrible, you know, the whole Boston bombing thing happened. I was thinking a lot about Syria because I saw that all it took was supposedly two guys running around with pipe bombs to send an entire city on lockdown. And what we have in Syria today is, I mean, tens of thousands of externally sponsored jihadists running around. And then you get the White House and John Kerry daring to, you know, criticize the Syrian government for, you know, for having a strong state or a security state. I mean, where do we get off?
American exceptionalism, brother. That's how it is. But you're right, they did. They locked down Boston. They raided people's houses from two guys in a bombing. Yeah, so it is pretty hypocritical to point the finger at Syria. I wanted to ask you, too, because often, you know, if you don't live there or if you've never met anyone from there, the image is like Saudi Arabia and how Saudi Arabia actually is. And I believe there's been a lot of orientalization of Syria where everything's painted as different religious sects, as the Sunni and the Shiite and Alawite and da-da-da-da. But would you say it's more actually the secular versus fanatics?
Oh, that's exactly how I've been writing about this thing the whole time. That's how I view it. On the one hand, you have people desiring a pluralistic, nationalist public order. And on the other hand, you have people desiring a Saudi-style feudal autocracy. Yeah, that's how I would put it. In fact, when I first went to Syria, it was actually considered rude to even ask about someone's religious identity or affiliation. In fact, I stayed mostly in Christian homes, but spent a lot of time as well with Sunni Muslims, Alawites, and to some extent Druze. The Druze tended to be the most kind of private, standoffish community in my experience. But I noticed that especially in the cities, you could be staying at someone's house. They did not know the religious identity of their neighbors, even their next door neighbors who they might see every week. And I'm told that Baghdad was actually much the same way before the 2003 U.S. invasion and the whole stupid, the Bremer's stupid idea of debathification, which tore the social fabric because that was the only game in town. But that was part of the shock, is that I've been told my whole life, you know, that the whole region is just this sea of radical Islam. And of course, being from Texas with a Southern Baptist upbringing, right, that's the view of Arabs in general, right, that people tend to instill. But then you go to a place like Syria, and you have a couple million Christians, you have different traditions of Islam, you have Druze, you have Alawites, you have all these groups that many in the West have never heard of. And they all live together, and they don't say, I'm a Muslim or I'm a Christian, or necessarily they say, first and foremost, I'm Syrian, and I'm going to live in harmony with my neighbor. And for whatever its shortcomings, whatever serious shortcomings of the last 30, 40 years, that's been the case under the Baathist government, for good or for ill. Simply, people did not think in these sectarian terms. It is the recent conflict, and it is the groups that the West and the GCC states, like Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Kuwait, have sponsored. It is these foreign sponsor groups that have brought sectarianism to a place that didn't know sectarianism before. And yes, that's exactly how I tend to write about it. And it's based on my firsthand experience. I just can't deny it. It's Syria. It's my experience of Syria before 2011. And it's the current reality after 2011. And it's not the Syrian people fundamentally that did this.
I think you make an important point there too, when you're saying the GCC and West, that would be the, you know, the US and Turkey as well, fostering this. This is in the DIA report as well. But it's important to know that this was not an organic rebellion or uprising. These are covert mercenaries from abroad, from Libya, from other states invading Syria. This is not the Syrian people trying to cast off the yoke of an oppressive regime. And those fighting the mercenaries are not necessarily pro or anti-Assad. They're pro-Syria and want to live and choose that over living under ISIS.
Oh, exactly right. Exactly right. And as you said, you know, a lot of people have known this for a long time, but this Defense Intelligence Agency information report from 2012 spells this out exactly. And really, really, this is nothing new from the Defense Intelligence Agency. People don't realize this actually represents, to some extent, intelligence orthodoxy on Syria. You can go search CIA archives right now and find older intelligence reports from 1980, from 1982. One is a 1982 report called Syria.
CIA, not CIA.
And as always, folks, that is the freebie. You can get the full podcast, which is over an hour long and gets into some interesting things about Blackwater near the end. If you pay $5 a month or if you sign up for a year, $50 for the year, so you get 2 months off free for that. Please do spread these around, ancreport.com. Put it on your YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Sue accounts. And click that VIP sticker and become a member, because that is financing War by Deception 2, the War on Drugs film and the JFK film and all these other documentaries, the sequel to Neocolonialism in Africa. All these films take lots of time, and time is money. So please sign up for the podcast. Thank you so much.